Today's scripture lesson comes from Psalms 1 in the Bible. Hear the word of God. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Morning. Before I start my message, I'm going to start with a confession. When Pastor Gerald called me, I had just been sitting there about to start my day's work, and I was preparing to go to New York for the next week, and I had a series of meetings and lots going on, and I realized that I was getting so caught up in my life with my children, my husband, with my work, that I wasn't taking the time to really study the scripture, to take the time to really take in the word. And I was saying to God, okay, I'm going to be more diligent in doing this. And then not a minute later, Pastor Gerald called me. And I could almost hear God laughing, like, I know you. If you don't have something on your schedule, it's not going to get done. So, and he had suggested Psalm 1, but said I could do any type of message. And I'm very accustomed to speaking about the Office of Deaconess and Home Missioner, talking about United Methodist Women, talking about lay ministries. And I said, no, you know, Pastor Gerald said Psalm 1, and this isn't a psalm I've thought of or looked at in a long time. And I said, okay, I'm going to do this, whatever it is. And I have to thank Pastor Gerald for that, and thank God for that, because it has been a wonderful scripture to focus on. This week, I was working on a lot of things related to General Conference for United Methodist Women and meeting with General Board of Global Ministries. And I realized I think I have some kind of post-traumatic stress from prior General Conference experiences. But to look at this scripture about being in relationship with God and about powers and how we can get distracted, it was the perfect one to keep me focused and keep me grounded for the ministry that God had called me to and being there working in the church. I also have a tendency to look at several different translations of a scripture, and while I will be talking from the New Revised Standard Version, I'd like to also just read the Message, which puts it into contemporary language, because I know for some, this really, the imagery sinks in a different way. How well God must like you. You don't hang out at Sin Saloon. You don't slink along Dead End Road. You don't go to Smart Mouth College. Instead, you thrill to God's word. You chew on scripture day and night. You're a tree replanted in Eden, bearing fresh fruit every month, never dropping a leaf, always in blossom. You're not at all like the wicked, who are mere windblown dust, without defense in court, unfit company for innocent people. God charts the road you take. The road they take is Skid Row. Throughout our life, we are provided with opportunities to start over or begin something with a fresh start. I think of New Year's, you know, all those resolutions that we make. I also think of birthdays, the start of school. Last evening, I was with my son as he, in scouting, crossed over from being a tiger to being a wolf. Not as quick to mind, though, are the challenges that sometimes provide the opportunity for us to start anew. It could be a health crisis. For me, that was cancer. It could be the loss of a relationship. It could be the loss of someone that we love or someone close to us. As I think of these times of when we might be starting anew, I'm drawn to the questions of what is my current relationship with God and how do I strengthen this relationship this year or in this experience or journey? Psalm 1, for me, gets straight to the point when it comes to our relationship with God. In every day, we make choices. Will those choices be good or not? Happy are those who do not follow the advice of the wicked or take the path that sinners tread or sit in the seat of scoffers, but their delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law they meditate day and night. They are like trees planted by streams of water, which yield their fruit in its season, and their leaves do not wither. In all that they do, they prosper. In reading this part of the text, I thought of John Wesley, especially after seeing part of the Wesley story at our last Wednesday dinner. And in that, the line begins with happy. And I recently learned from the UMW mission study on happiness in the book, Created for Happiness, Understanding Your Life in God, that Wesley cared about true happiness so much in the Christian faith that out of 150 documented sermons, 80 of them include the word happiness. Wesley understood the Bible to say that the way to be happy was to be holy. So he preached holiness and happiness as fundamental to the Christian life. I also thought that Wesley would really like about meditating on Scripture day and night. And in Psalm 1, happiness is promised for making good choices and delight in strengthening their relationship with God. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff, like that the wind drives away. What is chaff? Chaff is that dry husk that's on the outside of like grain. And in ancient times, people would actually like throw up the corn so that the wind, just the slightest breeze, could blow the chaff away, leaving just the kernel, just what you needed for sustenance. And chaff was something that you cannot eat as humans on that. Throughout Scripture, it's used to indicate something that's weak or worthless, has no meaning. Imagine being empty like that chaff, that hole, lacking the strength that comes from a close relationship with God. The slightest breeze can blow you away, and others are waiting for you to go away, leaving only what is prized. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Words of encouragement and words of warning, all in the same short time. Do you delight in strengthening your relationship with God? To be planted, you need to have strong roots in fertile soil. John Wesley believed in strong roots and spent many hours in prayer. He also utilized daily questions. And I'd like to share some updated versions of some of the questions that he gave to members of his discipleship groups more than 200 years ago. The questions have their origins in the original spiritual accountability group started by Wesley when he was a student at Oxford. And it was known by those detractors, called it the Holy Club. The first list appeared around 1729 and was recorded as published as late as 1781. The questions go, am I consciously or unconsciously creating the impression that I'm a better person than I really am? In other words, am I a hypocrite? Do I laugh at the mistakes of others, reveling in their errors and misfortunes? Do I insist on having my own way? Is there a tendency for me to put others down so that I'll be thought of more highly? Do I pass on to others what is told to me in confidence? Can I be trusted? Am I thoughtful in expressing thanks to people for what they've done for me, no matter how insignificant it seems? Am I a slave to dress, friends, work, or habits? Am I self-conscious, self-pitying, or self-justifying? Do I grumble or complain constantly? Acting better than I really am, reveling in the errors or misfortune of others, insisting on my own way, putting down others, addicted to work or habits, being self-conscious or self-justifying. Everyone comes up short when it comes to truthfully answering the questions. I don't think there's anybody who can go through that and feel at the end that they did it perfectly. But you know what? I can do better, and I know you can too, because in strengthening our relationship with God provides us the help and encouragement needed to improve. The next set of questions, also adapted from questions of John Wesley, focus on specifics about our relationship with God and our service in the world. Did the Bible live in me today? Do I give the Bible time to speak to me every day? Did I disobey God in anything yesterday? Did I insist on doing something about which my conscience was uneasy? Did I handle discouragement well, or did I have to be coddled? Am I enjoying prayer? When did I last speak to someone else of my faith? Is there anyone whom I fear, dislike, disown, criticize, or hold resentment toward? If so, what am I doing about it? Is Christ real to me? How can I strengthen my relationship with God? Psalm 1 provides encouragement and a warning. And the questions of John Wesley actually provides us with some understanding and direction. When I was reading Wesley's questions, you know, I thought of the daily examine. The daily examine is a technique of prayerful reflection on the events of the day in order to detect God's presence and discern his direction for us. And the examine is actually an ancient practice in the church that can help us see God's hand at work in our whole experience, our whole life. Saint Ignatius of Loyola thought that the examine was a gift that came directly from God, and that God wanted it to be shared as widely as possible. One of the few rules of prayers that Ignatius made for the Jesuit order was the requirement that they would practice the examine twice daily, once at noon, once at the end of the day. And it's a habit that the Jesuits and many Christians practice today. One way that I've practiced the daily examine is to set aside 10 minutes at the end of the day and just to ask God to bring to mind the answers to two questions. And these questions, actually, I worked on with a friend for the book, The Call, Living Sacramentally and Walking Justly. It was another UMW Mission U study. And the questions are, when did I most contribute love and justice to God's kingdom today? In this, I give thanks. When did I least contribute love and justice to God's kingdom today? In this, I ask God's help. As I think about these questions in relationship to Psalm 1, it could also be phrased of, when was I contributing to being the most fruitful? And then when was I least contributing and I was actually being distracted by the powers and principalities and made choices as hollow as the chaff? You know, individuals of any age can practice the daily examine. I've actually started it with my sons, who are 9 and 7, trying to have them think about the day. You can develop the questions about whatever relates to you, whatever words, and wherever you are in your journey. I kind of think of it as like rummaging for God. Like some of us, we have this drawer in our house that you have to rummage through to find things, and you'll come up with some treasure in it, something you forgot, or something that is like, why did I save that receipt from this, or why is that used gum in there if it's in my house? and so that's like the chaff and the fruit is there. And in all that we do, we have perspective to bring, and we make choices. To illustrate perspective, I think of the story of three people working on a construction site. All are doing the same job. And when they're asked what they do, one of them says, I'm breaking rocks. The second one says, I'm earning a living. The third one says, I'm helping to build a cathedral. We can focus our perspective very tightly just on that rock, on that issue, our concern, the one moment. Or we can choose to think more broadly, to think of how this connects, to think of the relationships, how this is contributing to bringing God's kingdom. And it is a choice we make. We make a choice if we're going to sit by that flowing water and be rooted, or are we going to get caught up in what is happening around us, in the powers and the principalities and the distractions, and be like that chaff? God is always there with us, in us, present with us. We are not always willing to acknowledge that or have that awareness of God's presence. I just celebrated my second anniversary since being diagnosed with cancer. And as I think about these stories, it just actually dawned in my mind about one day I was sitting with my oncologist, and she said, okay, what's your goal? What are you planning on? And most people, I think, are thinking of that rock, like that chemo treatment, well, I just want to get through these symptoms. Mine was, well, I'm planning my 50th wedding anniversary, and I'm going to be there. And her response was, you know, she said, you know, I don't understand why you're doing so well. There's no reason. Do you think it's your faith? And I said, absolutely. It's my faith and all those who are praying for me. And I know that all we truly have is this moment. We have the present. And we need to be thankful in that moment. We need to be thankful not for just the fruit that we see, the joys, but even be thankful when we answer those questions and there's a weakness there. Be thankful for that. I'm thankful, you know, I have neuropathy from the chemotherapy, but you know what? I can use my hands and my feet. It doesn't bother me. I'm so grateful because I know so many people who cannot. We have to have that perspective, realize how we connect and how God is using every moment. And I've even come to be thankful for the cancer, because if I had not had this journey, I would not know God the way I do now. And know God's love for me and the love I have for myself and every person that I encounter. God has a purpose for each of us. God does not create things like cancer, does not do that, bring that into our lives, but God uses it as a way to reach us and be in relationship with us if we will allow it. And that is where our choice is. We can decide that all we're doing is breaking rocks, or we can decide, are we part of a greater good, building God's kingdom? We can decide if we're going to plant ourselves by that water, or are we going to focus on the negative and be like the chaff and worry about what you see in the reality shows and things like that, of the things that are just of this world. But truly, what meaning do they have? This week, let us strive to focus on the good in our lives. Focus on being aware of where we are planted. Focus on the fruit that we bring and what we experience and witness in others. Instead of dwelling on the negative, let us give thanks to God for the people who have shaped and all the people who have shaped us, who we have shaped and all the people who have shaped us. And in this, we will grow in our relationship with God. Amen.